Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And as they're preaching this, because the Feast of Pentecost was so highly revered among the Jews, people had traveled from all over the known world to come to the holy city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast Day of Pentecost in the temple. And they had come from all over the place. The Jewish race had been scattered to the four winds, so to speak. And so they're coming from Persia, and they're coming from Egypt, and they're coming from Greece, and they're coming from Rome, and they're coming from Asia Minor, and they're coming from everywhere in the known world. And they are people who have grown up in those areas for several generations who speak those languages. These are, St. Luke tells us, both Jews and proselytes. So that is people that are ethnically Jewish, and then Gentiles also who are exploring converting to the Jewish faith, came to the feast day of Pentecost in Jerusalem from all of these different nations. And they spoke different languages. And the apostles came out after this event, this rushing mighty wind and this strange appearance of these tongues of fire, and everybody came running to see what was going on. And the apostles come out of the room and they begin to speak about Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. And everyone who is there hears them speaking in their own language. Notice the apostles weren't speaking a lot of different things. It wasn't like, you know, today if I wanted to give you a sermon in English and then give you another one in Italian, I'd have to say the first part in English and then I'd have to say something in Italian. And if I spoke in the other languages, I'd have to give those two subsequently. You know, I'd have to give it in order. Here's the English form, here's the next one, here's the next one. That's not what happened when the apostles preached. They didn't go out and start, one of them preached in Aramaic, and another one preached in Latin, and another one preached in Persian. They spoke, and everyone who was there heard the same message in a language that they could understand. This is an event of profound significance in the history of the human race. Number one, it's never been repeated since that time, on that scale. But secondly, if you cast your mind back to the, most of us probably to the Bible stories we read when we were little kids, you know, about the Tower of Babel. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Men had multiplied upon the face of the earth. They had already, the human race had fallen into sin, had fallen into a corrupt way of being, and human beings were sinful. And in their sin and in their pride, they decided among themselves, we're going to build a tower to reach up into the heavens. And they began to work. And God saw them, that they were full of pride, and that they were taking it upon themselves to reach on their own accord into the heavens, which is really a replica of the sin of Adam, right? Be God without God. It's the same thing they're doing. Reach into the heavens without the help of God. Do it with your own power. And so in order to prevent them from doing this kind of thing, the Lord, in the scriptures it says, confounded their tongues. Imagine the scene. They were building a tower. They were all speaking together. Hey, hand me those bricks over there. Bring that load of rocks up to the next tier. All of a sudden they're speaking to each other. And no one can understand any of the other ones. Bring me the rocks over there. Blah, 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 blah. And they can't understand. And so as a result, they were divided up among nations. And they were unable to communicate with each other. And so those who spoke one language had to group together with the others who spoke the same language. And others who couldn't understand that language but could understand a different one, they grouped together with those. And that's the foundation of nationalities. That's the account we have in the scriptures. And it's very important to remember that, because what happens on the day of Pentecost when the apostles come out and they preach? It's the exact opposite. People who speak all kinds of different languages are suddenly able to all understand the same one. The apostles come out and preach, and everyone hears and understands. It is the undoing of the curse of Babel. In the same way that Christ, in his resurrection from the dead, he undoes the curse of Adam in the descent of the Holy Spirit and the multiplication of the tongues on Pentecost, the Lord undoes the curse of Babel. And what does he do? In the Kontakion that we sing today, go and look it up in your prayer book at home if you have the time. The Kontakion, that whenever he sent down the Holy Spirit, he called all to unity. Because why did he confuse the tongues at Babel? To create disunity. For the salvation of those people. To preserve them from their pride and their arrogance. But the way he did it was he created disunity. They could not speak to one another. But in the fullness of time, we could say, in his wisdom, when he saw that the time was right, when he had worked all things so that the right time was created, he sent down his Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and he worked backwards the curse of Babel. And in so doing, he called all men to unity. That unity that the apostles preached from the beginning is the unity in Jesus Christ. There's lots of different kinds of unity that get preached nowadays. You know, if you listen to political commentators, you hear about some certain kinds of unity which we are really not able to unify with. So there's all kinds of unity. There could be unity under Islam. There could be unity under secularism. There could be unity under really anything. You make something an ideology and make it a source of unity for those who believe it. But the Lord calls people to unity in himself, because the first unity that he established is between God and the human race. That is the primary unity that is broken by sin. Adam and Eve, whenever they sinned in the Garden of Eden, broke that unity, and as a consequence of that, they died. And as a consequence of that, all of their descendants inherited sin and death. So the Lord, in his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection from the dead, he restores the unity that the human race is created to have with God. That's the primary and fundamental unity. And without that unity, nothing else works. Some of you here remember firsthand the Soviet Union. Some of you remember secondhand, like me. I remember it secondhand. The Soviet Union, there were the fearsome enemies across the sea. Some of you remember it firsthand. But what was the deceit of that form of government? It was unity without God. That is the deceit. That is the deceit of all human utopias. If we do things a certain way, if we all believe this, we'll all be happy, and we'll have perfect unity and perfect oneness of mind without God. And the witness of history is that it does not work. And in fact, God will bring it down. Starting with the Tower of Babel, all the way up to the Soviet Union, and throughout the rest of history. God will bring it down because it is a destructive unity. The unity that God calls us to is, first of all, unity with himself. And the witness of the apostles, the witness of their lives, is that not everybody wants that. Not everybody desires that kind of unity. In fact, some people would rather kill you than hear you say, you must believe in God for your own sake. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your own sake. There are those in the world who would rather slit our throats and throw our bodies in a ditch than listen to us say that. But the reality is, without that unity, there is no living. So the Lord sent the Holy Spirit on his apostles to proclaim unity. And now, by the grace of God, by the miracle of his death and his resurrection, by the miracle of his descent of the Holy, by, of his sending down the Holy Spirit, this unity, which God himself has forged in the church, is available to all of us. And now it is possible for you and for me to become, as St. Peter says, partakers of the divine nature. To become true human beings, really. Because that's what we're talking about. To live up to that calling which God has created us for. To be truly human. to live the life that is shown to us in Jesus Christ. This is the call that is issued to each and every one of us. On this day of Pentecost, we commemorate this tremendous event, but commemorating in the church is not just remembering something that happened a long time ago. Commemorating in the church takes on a mystical quality in which we ourselves are participants in the event that we recollect. All of the hymns of the church, none of them say anything about Jesus dying a long time ago. All of them say, today the Lord is risen from the dead. And the hymns of Pentecost say very clearly, today the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles. So you and I, by gathering together in the church this morning for liturgy and this evening for the kneeling vespers of Pentecost, we become communicants. We become participants in this tremendous event. We are allowed by the grace of God. We are permitted by His mercy and by His love for us to acquire that same Holy Spirit and to step into the tremendous unity that the Lord has made in His church and to live it out the rest of our lives with hope in God, with faith in Him, and for the desire, with the desire of dwelling with Him for all eternity and the ages of ages. To God who is glorified in Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship for ages of ages.
Amen.